Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
I'd like a story where somebody gets killed, but not like a human, but a human also gets punished for it. Maybe too much, maybe not enough. So, medium punishment, please.
Pull up to the second window, and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I'm John, here as always with my best friend Jamie. How's life?
Things are good, man. True Crime is still rolling on. Come back to another awesome episode of True Crime to Go with us.
Speaking of good times, this is a good one. I'm excited about it. So why don't you get us rolling?
Yeah, so I looked for a case like this. This is a case about pet owners being prosecuted for the actions of their pets. And I did this because I'm really interested in how that law works out. How do those laws work in different areas? This has nothing to do with the fact that you're really afraid of my dog.
Yeah, I mean, she's beautiful most of the time, but then she also barks at me quite a bit and scares me a little.
She's not going to hurt you. Certainly not anything like we're going to see in today's case. Today, we're going to talk about the death of Diane Whipple. Diane was born on January 21st of 1968 in Princeton, New Jersey. She grew up with her grandparents, mostly living in Long Island, New York. She was a really good athlete. She was a star lacrosse player in high school, college, and she even competed for the U.S. World Cup team twice and barely missed out on making the Olympic team.
She would eventually settle near San Francisco and coach lacrosse at St. Mary's College of California. She lived with her partner, Sharon Smith, and she seemed to be exactly where she wanted to be in life. On January 26th of 2001, around 4 p.m., she came home from the grocery store and met a neighbor, Marjorie Noller, and her two dogs in the hallway of the sixth floor of her apartment building.
These dogs were named Bane and Hera, and they were Presa Canarios, which is a breed I was unfamiliar with, but they're really big dogs. Bane weighed about 140 pounds and Hera about 100 pounds. Both of these are bigger than my Weimaraner, which I think we can both agree. She's a pretty big dog, right?
I would say she's huge. I mean, you just took her to the vet. Do you know how much she weighs?
She weighs about 80 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So almost double your dog. Good Lord.
Yeah, the details of what happened in that hallway are vague. But what we do know is that Whipple was violently attacked by at least one of these dogs. She ended up having wounds on every part of her body except the soles of her feet. And she would ultimately die of blood loss due to the wounds that she suffered from those dogs that day.
Noller was one of the caretakers of these dogs, along with her husband, Robert Noll. They were both attorneys, and this is where it gets even more weird and complicated. The dogs actually belonged to a man named Paul Schneider, who was in the Aryan Brotherhood and was serving a life sentence at the time of the dog attack. Now, we could do an entire episode on him if we wanted to later, but for now, these two attorneys had actually adopted Schneider as their legal son at the age of 38 and had agreed to take care of his dogs while incarcerated. Why in the world do these attorneys adopt a criminal Aryan leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know other people who have been adopted as adults. A lot of time it's more symbolic than anything, but this is weird for attorneys to adopt a criminal, and it kind of shows a level of corruption that only comes with organized crime, right? And there are differing stories as to what went down that night. Noller would say that Whipple was confrontational about the dogs, that she always hated them and complained about them, and that Whipple refused to leave the hallway so that the dogs could come out and pass safely. That Whipple kind of stood there. Again, that's according to Noll. We don't have Whipple's story because she was killed in the incident. So Noller blamed all of this on Whipple. She said she was antagonizing Noller. She was antagonizing the dogs and wouldn't clear a path. Now, I know that I could see the scenario where she's mad about the dogs and she's complaining about them and saying, get them out of my way. But I don't know of a person that stands in front of a growling 140-pound dog and doesn't try to get to safety, whether that's by moving out of the way or whatever. So I have a really hard time believing that this was really Noller trying her best to keep this dog away. The dogs would both eventually be euthanized due to this case, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on whether or not that's okay and the right thing to happen. But what I want to talk about is the fact that Noel and Noller both faced charges from this attack. What were they charged with, John?
Yeah, they were both charged with felony manslaughter and keeping a mischievous animal. And Noller was actually charged with second degree murder. Now, I just want to ask, are those charges too much for this situation?
John, that's exactly why I wanted to have these conversations. And I wish I had a really firm opinion for you, but this is tough. So somebody died. Somebody was killed as a result of actions of adults that led to actions of an animal. So I do think there's responsibility here. I don't think second degree murder is appropriate, though. I don't think it may have been malicious, but even if it was, she's not carrying this out herself or getting another human to do it. The animal is unpredictable. Animals can be vicious. They have these survival mechanisms. So much less control over an animal than you would have over a weapon or a hitman or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, it wasn't like she spread peanut butter all over this person and let the dogs out. I mean, it was a horrible accident. Someone did die, so I understand there needs to be accountability. But, man, it's rough. In 2002, they were found guilty of all charges. Noller was sentenced to 15 years to life. Is that too harsh for a pet's actions?
Usually you and I fall on the side of, no, there can never be enough justice. I think that's too much. I think the manslaughter charge and the housing of a mischievous animal charge were appropriate. I think the sentences for those were appropriate. And I think Noel served the appropriate amount of time, but 15 years for an animal you're in care of acting out in a way that you did not encourage seems, and again, she may have encouraged it, whether she did or not, it was the animal that did it. And she's responsible for that. But I don't think to this degree. What do you think? 15 years too much?
It seems like a rough sentence, and I don't know, man. It's tough.
Upon appeal, her sentence was reduced to 4 years, and she was actually let out in 2004 on good behavior in prison. Again, she's an attorney, so she knows how to work all these angles. Noel was released from his sentence for manslaughter in 2003, and he was done. However, the state continued to fight for Whipple in this case, and took it all the way to the Supreme Court of California. And they ended up sending it back to a San Francisco Superior Court saying, you have to rehear this second-degree murder charge. And that court upheld her original sentence of 15 years to life. So she was sent back in 2008 to finish her sentence that she started in 2002.
Noel passed away in 2018. Noller continued to fight, and her final appeal was denied in 2015. So she has to finish out her sentence. She was denied parole in 2019, and she won't be eligible for parole again until next year, 2022.
This happened in 2001. So aside from the few years that she was out from 2004 to 2008, she's been 21 years paying for this dog's actions. Again, she had a role. She was responsible. Please don't hear that we're completely saying she had nothing to do with this. 21 years of your life. And potentially, again, this was 15 years. She could spend the rest of her life in prison for this.
I guess what's most aggravating to me is that she, you know, she was responsible for a dog that killed someone. Yet we know countless people who have murdered someone, confessed to it. They only spent a few years in prison and they're out. Why is that happening in those cases? But here we're holding her to the full letter of the law for a dog's actions.
Yeah, this is pretty unbelievable to me. And like I said, we've never covered a case that deals with this particular issue. So I wanted to bring it up. I thought this was a good case that could do that. I think it's too much. I think Noel's sentence and what he got was appropriate. I think he ended up being disbarred. There were a lot of rumors about the dogs being bred for fighting and odd relationships between Schneider and the attorneys. But all in all, it's a really odd case with an odd ending that I'm not sure I agree with.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this one to us, Jamie. I think it was a really good one.
Yep, guys, we'll be back with another true crime to go next week. A true crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out StoveLeg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. StoveLeg Media, igniting conversation.